Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Well, all right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Kevin and Chuck. Today we're going to talk root cellars, otherwise known as a hole in the ground. I mean, how hard could it be, right? You just dig a hole?
Yeah. That's a root cellar.
That's a root cellar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there's a little
yes
more
and
to that.
No. There's some gray areas there. Basically, root cellars are, you know, before refrigeration, they get the name root cellar is because it's where you store your root vegetables. You could also say it's underground, kind of like roots are underground.
Yeah, I get what you're doing there.
See what I did there? Yep. That's, you know, so the idea is people are like, well, you know, to get the perfect temperature, constant ground temperature, you actually need to dig 10 feet down.
Right.
And that's deep.
It's
10 feet,
deep.
You're working that shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide to do that after the apocalypse, you probably don't have any heavy machines. But what else are you going to do with your time, right? I mean, sure, you're maybe hunting, gathering food,
you've got all
fighting
your stuff
off people,
already.
But you're already prepped, right?
Mm-hmm. You're good. You got,
we have freeze-dried food. We don't even need roots, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, the idea is you want to keep it at a constant temperature.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
You want to keep the humidity down to a minimum. And you want to have at least three sides encased by the ground. You could hypothetically do it in your basement. But yeah, that's not ideal.
I have some recommendations of what you could do if you did do it in your basement.
All right.
But you're right. Another thing to think about is a root cellar. You're like, oh, well, you know, it's hot out and whatever. And how am I going to keep it when I can't dig 10 feet and whatever? Before you get excited and worked up, realize you're really only storing things in a root cellar in the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. I mean, it's meant to prolong your harvest.
Right.
So you gather your harvest at the end of the season, and the idea is to keep those vegetables going so they're still, you know, good well into season when you're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
So that should give you a little peace of mind that, hey, we can make this work.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of ways to do it. Now, Kevin just mentioned that maybe you do a basement root cellar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a root cellar is attached to the house, like for easy access, the best method is to use the foundation walls on the northeast corner as the two sides of the root cellar. Build the other two walls with stud and board and then insulate it. Kind of keep that cold.
Right, you want
to
store that. You want to keep that temperature in. Keep that cold in.
And you can use like pipes and ducts to keep the heat out, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm talking about there is you can have vent pipes that go in and out. Mm-hmm. So it'll draw in the cold air and then let out the room. Now you're like, well, how can I do that? Is that magic? Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of is, and I don't really know. But one, if you're in the modern world, you can set up a fan to actually draw in the air from the outside.
Blow in the bottom.
Or vice versa. You could put the fan at the top.
Mm-hmm.
That would work. You guys might know about solar, and you could work out a little. You know, a little solar fan wouldn't be that hard to, you know, work out.
Nope.
That's not, you know, the end of the world. So the idea would be you bring in some cold air at night.
Right.
And then... and blow out the warm air. And then, you know, that cold air is going to stay, you know, throughout the daytime and kind of balance out. And depending how well you insulate it, that, you know, should work out. So that's how you would go about it with the basement. But, you know, there's...
You do a lot better, though, building it...
In the ground.
In the ground, yeah. And surrounded on four sides.
So what else you got? Like... There's the simple man where you could just do like a garbage can. People do that where, you know, during the winter, you use like a metal garbage can or, you know, 55-gallon drum. You dig the hole, just dig a hole bigger than the can, drop it in, big enough, you know, so you can get the lid with about 4 inches would be enough, you know, at the top. Then what you would do is heap earth around, you know, the circumference, add straw inside the can, then the crops, then straw again, and then cover with the lid, then straw or plastic sheeting on top of that.
Yeah.
And then your 4 inches.
Right.
And something like that is enough to keep your root vegetables, you know, going throughout the winter. That's a minimum.
Yeah.
That's when you're digging the hole after the apocalypse. That's what you do.
Right, right. Now, a big part of this is when you're storing it, you want to be below the frost line. Now, the frost line is typically about 4 inches where we're at. It can be a lot deeper the further north you go. You don't want your vegetables freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing.
I think that's water lines at... 36 inches
right,
is where we do a water line that we know is not going to freeze.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Four inches sounds a little risky to me.
Yeah, we've had some cold weathers where it's gotten down to 22 inches, I think, is the deepest I've ever seen it.
Okay.
You know, and so 36 long,
is that safe cushion?
That's safe. That's safe.
That's like Chuck who's paranoid, and when I do my meat butchering and stuff, I try and do 4 hours from 40 to 140, you know, from raw to cooked.
Right.
You know, I keep my window short, four hours. That's the same thing here where, you know, you keep that 36, you know you got it.
Right.
And you're saying, you know, usually 22 is about the...
I think it's, yeah, it's the deepest
for where
I've ever
we are.
Seen.
And we're up north, you know, pretty far. You're down in Tennessee or something. It's not going to be as deep.
Right, right. You know, and generally you're storing the vegetables. The only reason I mention this is generally you're storing the vegetables over the winter.
Right.
So, I mean, your vegetables freezing and unfreezing, not a good look, you know?
That's the thing. They say, you know, if your winter temperatures drop below 25, which we definitely way below that, but they usually recommend just, you know, make sure that it's below the soil surface, which is that 4 inches you're talking about.
Right.
And that should maintain. But again, you know, we definitely have winters here where we'll be -5 for 8 days in a row. You know, 9 days in a row. And I get all these calls that, oh, all my water pipes are freezing and, you know, whatever.
Yep.
But, you know, you have to base it kind of on where you live and your location. There's other ways we can... do a root cellar. There's different ways where you can kind of dig it yourself and do that. Basically, I mean, this is, you know, a lot easier if you have some kind of machine or you can rent or, you know, do. Maybe you have your own backhoe or, you know, a nice tractor with a bucket, that kind of thing. Or maybe you have some strong kids who like to use picks and shovels, you know. So you would dig down in the ground, and you basically dig a hole, and it really can be whatever size you're going to need to store stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the deeper, the better. You know, we talked about you're going to maintain that constant temperature if once you get below, like, the 20 inches. It depends where you are, you know. I mean, I know I said 10 feet, and that's for true, you know, true never change. But you can pretty much maintain in the winter. If you're below that 22, you're going to stay pretty decent. So you dig down in the ground. A lot of people will actually, like, build a shed or the house kind of thing over top of it.
Right. It makes that roof a lot easier.
And do a trap door, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You always see, like, when you see the guys do the log cabin in the woods, they always have the trap door in the floor to the root cellar kind of planned out.
Right.
But those guys, they always seem to be, like, in Alaska or some cold climate whenever I see that. But...
yeah.
You know, that's pretty sweet right there where you just open up the floor. You don't got to go out digging in the snow or.
Right. You don't want to be in and out of the house if you can help it.
So putting a hut over top of your root cellar, definitely not a bad idea. And if you're building your small one room cabin, you know, your secret getaway, your off grid location.
Right.
A root cellar like that underneath is not a bad way to go. There's lots of stuff online. You can check that out, you know, for people who've done that. But the other option, you could dig into the side of a hill. That makes excavating a lot easier. And, like, I mean, I dug a pond a couple of years back. I don't know if you guys remember, but one of the things I talked about is I went to, like, the lowest section kind of thing. I dug the hole, but I dug everything I dug out. I built up a giant wall on the backside, you know, so that it evened out. So everything I'm digging, I'm adding to the height. So you're doubling what you're getting. And that's what you should be doing with the root cellar. You know, whatever you're digging out of it is going to be what you're mounting on top of it or building up the sides with.
Right.
You could, we talked about doing sod roofs. That's not a bad way to go. You can cut, you know, 4-inch sod up there. And if you work it with ventilation, that's going to work pretty good. It's always going to be cool in the summer, but it's going to be the cold in the winter. And you could really bring in the cold and store your vegetables, you know, long term that way.
Right. Now, a lot of people like to do the cinder block walls.
Yeah.
It's just... I don't have any problem with that. You want to set footings for that, though. And you want to make sure your walls aren't going to buckle under the weight of their...
Now, like, I mean, it depends on your climate. Obviously, I agree with what Kevin's saying about, you know, you want a foundation kind of thing. But just the same, especially if you're in an area where the ground freezes. And that's going to, you know, cause it to heave and shift and and things like that. In the south, you can get away with a little more. You know, you always see the shacks when you go down in the south and... you see people just kind of right on the ground, whatever, but that's because the ground's never freezing solid. And, you know, it's a different world. But anytime you have a real solid foundation, it's going to be better. You could also use, like, piling up rocks and cinder block, like Kevin was saying, but then you still want to surround it by sod around the outside of that. And you could even do, like, hay. And then sod and that kind of stuff. You know, you can bulk it out with other stuff, but, you know, the thicker, the denser the material, the more it's going to do, you know, for insulation. But again, straw, you know, works for insulation. You know, that air kind of holds.
Air is the best insulator. Now, one thing that I want to point out real quick, a lot of guys I've seen have done this where they bury the Connex boxes.
Yeah.
Not a smart move.
Really?
Those walls are not designed for the vertical,
roof can't
the horizontal
hold the dirt
pressure.
Is the big thing.
The,
right.
The sides cave in.
Oh, also.
Yeah, because it's designed for pressure on top and on the bottom, but not for,
it's
for
not
horizontal
even that.
Pressure.
It's designed for pressure on the frame.
Right.
And that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you throw a bunch of dirt on the roof, it's going to collapse. You cave in a lot of dirt on the sides, it's going to collapse. And you don't realize how much pressure there is there.
Right.
It's significant, you know. Another thing is to consider drainage and where you are. and is it going to flood your root cellar? Yeah. Just be aware, you know, use common sense about, you know, you build it up on a hill, you're going to be all right if you got the roof that's going to divert it.
Yep.
That kind of thing. But yeah, if you're in the giant valley and you haven't built up a roof that's higher and around it and a tunnel, you know, around the outside to divert it.
Right. You're going to have a hard time.
You could end up with a real problem.
Yeah. When I first moved into my house, every time we had a heavy rain, it would flood out. And it was just the lay of the land, you know, just everything sloping the wrong way. I ended up, I tried all sorts of stuff and none of it really worked until I actually paid a guy with a bulldozer to regrade my entire yard.
Turns out that
cost $1,000, but man, that was problem solved afterward after that.
Yeah. See, I'd be out there for two summers with a freaking shovel and I would actually lose my earning potential of about $8,000.
Right.
And I'd be like, yeah, I saved that $1,000. I'm so smart. All right. So now that we've kind of figured out what and how a root cellar is, let's talk a little bit about what to do inside. Like, how do we set it up?
All right.
There's a couple of different options. The one thing, you're going to want to build a shelving system. Now, the shelves should be made out of wood. What happens there is wood doesn't conduct or, it doesn't transfer the temperature like metal shelves do. So that can be a big thing. The it basically doesn't conduct heat or cold, you know, as rapidly like metal shelves. So you'll get like freezer burn or things. It'll keep it all more consistent. Air circulation is critical for minimizing like airborne mold, that kind of stuff. You know, you always see the potatoes and they get all nasty and, you know, when they're not stored. I know my mom, when I was a kid, used to have like the wood potato box.
Yeah, I remember those.
And it was always filled with moldy, nasty potatoes. No, it could be because she used them once every 2 years because she didn't know how to cook.
Right.
There might be that. But, you know, I don't know. So circulation is huge. The shelves should be like 1 to 3 inches away from the walls. Because that'll actually, you know, you need that airflow in between again.
Right, right. It needs to breathe a little bit there.
Packed earth is actually the preferred flooring for a root cellar. Concrete works good and is practical, but believe it or not, the earth actually helps dissipate the humidity and you know, even keep things even. Every root cellar should have like a thermometer and a hydrometer, just kind of keep an eye on things and really even almost check daily just to make sure things aren't getting away from you. But you basically, and then heat is usually regulated, like I was mentioning, how you can work out exhaust, where you can kind of set up a fan with the cold. And actually, the different air temperatures, just opening and closing a flap at night will draw in, you know, the cold air. It's just that a fan could make it better. You know, that's why I was saying, you know, it might be nice. Also, like, think about where you place the produce. The driest, warmest air is closer to the ceiling. The more humid air is going to be lower or farthest away from the door and you know, lower to the ground. Different, you know, crops will want different, you know, preferences. So, like, how do we go about storing, like, the crops? Like, what vegetables do good in a root cellar or what are we doing there?
Yeah, well,
or am I asking the wrong question?
No, that's right. That's right. Let's talk about vegetables first. Let's talk about fruits and vegetables. All right. So apples will store 2 to 7 months, depending on what type of apple you use.
Okay.
So I mean, storing an apple for 7 months is pretty impressive if you can do that. You want to start with the tart apples. Not the sweeter ones. The sweeter ones will go bad first.
Okay.
Beets are really good. They last 3 to 5 months in a root cellar. Broccoli's only going to last about 1 to 2 weeks. I mean, that's just, broccoli just doesn't have that great of a shelf life. 3 to 5 weeks with Brussels sprouts. Cabbage will last 3 to 5 weeks. Carrots, you can actually store them in the ground where you grow them.
Really?
Yeah, if you're buying them from the store, you know, they'll last 4 to 6 months in your root cellar. But if you're growing your own carrots, you can just leave them in the ground and dig them out of the ground when you want them.
That's assuming you can chisel through the ice in the snow.
And, yeah, and get to it, right? Squash is 4 to 6 months. Onion, 5 to 8 months. Garlic is really good, 5 to 8 months on garlic. Dried beans, you can basically keep them forever. A year is an appropriate time, but I think that that's really just because, I mean, how long are you going to keep those beans?
I think what they do, like they say, if you're going to store beans forever, mm-hmm. you know, you want them to be like your 25-year freeze-dried, you know, mm-hmm. long-term storage. What you can do is they have those Mylar bags.
Uh-huh.
And you actually want to put them in there. That keeps the humidity and stuff from changing, and it prevents new oxygen from getting into
right.
it. If you basically put it in the Mylar bags, then drop it in a 5-gallon bucket with a lid and close it up,
mm-hmm.
then I would say your beans are going to last.
Your beans are good, yeah. It's probably just storing them open in your root cellar is probably not the best way you can go
but again,
about it.
If you're trying to get through a season for beans,
it'll
you're going to be good.
Yep. Radish is 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Now, we talked about beets. Radish and turnips, they're about the same to me. I'm not interested. I've eaten, you know, a lot of awful shit. When you get hungry enough, you know, dog doesn't taste that bad. The
Kevin,
same thing with
Kevin,
radishes.
Kevin.
I'd have to be starving.
So you're saying dog and radishes are right?
About equivalent. Uh-huh. Turnips are 4 to 6 months to last in your root cellar.
All right.
Same with potatoes. So I think you're getting here, pears actually, 2 to 3 months.
I wouldn't have thought with
me.
All that sugar, yeah.
Right. But, you know, your longest, your best bets are the root vegetables. You know, the potatoes, the carrots, you know, the beets and the turnips. You know, those are really the things that will do the best. It's just that most of them taste awful, you know.
Now, I like French fries.
Hey, nobody's...
But then again, you cook anything in fat,
yeah.
and you might get me excited,
I have to say that I'm a very healthy eater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I stay away from sugar. You know, I don't drink Kool-Aid and stuff like that. I don't eat candy. But man, French fries, that's my weakness.
French fries are everybody's weakness.
I just can't help it.
They said some documentary I heard about McDonald's. They were like, you know, people come in, whatever, but everybody leaves with French fries.
Everybody likes the French
and
fries.
And I think one of the secrets I heard is they used to, they couldn't do, whoever was selling them the oil couldn't afford like homogenized vegetable oil or whatever, I don't know. And so they would actually cook it with a little beef fat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be the key to McDonald's French
fries.
Right. With the oil, has a little beef fat mm-hmm. in it and just gives it that little something more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I got to say, McDonald's French fries are not what they used to be 10, 15
years
ago.
Yeah, something's changed there.
Something's changed. I really actually can go without them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good now. But it used to be they were the dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then. I don't know. But French fries, you know, I grew up in Canada a little bit as a kid. And
the vinegar.
The vinegar and, you know, salt.
Mayonnaise was the jam up there,
you
too.
Know?
I could never get into the mayonnaise.
It's, you know, it's a different world.
I feel bad for the Canadians, though.
People with the tartar sauce, uh-huh. whatever they got to do with the vinegar.
The fancy sauce.
Man, I think we got off topic there a little bit.
Sorry.
Now, one of the things, too, with the root vegetables...
Oh, wait, one more thing about potatoes.
Oh, we're back on French fries?
I'm not done with potatoes.
All right.
Now, potatoes...
Go better with bacon and onion, and
yes.
you chop them
now,
up nice.
Believe it or not, that you can survive... You can't survive on rabbit forever. You'll starve to death. But potatoes, you can eat potatoes forever.
Forever.
Right. And if you're only your diet is only consists of potatoes, you're going to survive.
Now,
you'll make it.
I was actually listening to a prepper book... an audiobook, whatever, and they were talking about that once, like, you know, everybody eats when they're starving and, you know, 3 weeks into the apocalypse, everybody's run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
you got to remember to save your potatoes.
Yeah.
You need those to start over.
Mm-hmm.
And potatoes eat them are all. Huge
yep.
for feeding a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat them all, that's it. They're mm-hmm. gone. You don't have any seeds right. or anything.
Right. Potatoes basically are a seed. All you got to do is bury them and you got more potatoes.
And you got more potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cut one potato up. Anything with an eye
mm-hmm.
is new potatoes.
Right.
And potatoes, not even potato.
Right.
So, and that's each eye. Mm-hmm. You can cut one potato, get like 10 plants or
mm-hmm.
six or seven anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying, in the apocalypse, don't forget to save your potatoes.
But French fries are so good.
When people are like, oh, God, I got to go to the grocery store and I'm buying all the canned food,
mm-hmm.
you go over to the potatoes.
Right.
And grab yourself a sack because that's how you're going to survive the apocalypse.
Amen, brother.
All right. You know what? Right there, if you get nothing else from this episode, right there is value, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to take you.
Yeah, when the power goes out and there's a rush on the grocery store, head for the potatoes.
Head for the potatoes.
Mm-hmm. They like sandy soil. Just saying.
Just saying?
Mm-hmm.
All I know is Ireland, there yeah. was some kind of thing.
Yeah, there was a blight.
A blight?
There was a potato famine.
But if you get to the grocery store first, that's mm-hmm. what you want to do.
Yep.
Now, another thing, you're going to be tempted. Actually, I wouldn't be, but somebody might be tempted to wash their vegetables before they put them in the
right.
root cellar. You basically want to kick the dirt off,
any
and that's
clumps.
About it.
Right.
Let them, you know, store the way they are, natural kind of thing.
Right.
Just brush off the big stuff and throw it, you know, in the pile because you don't want to get them clean or they'll actually end up rotting faster. So,
right. Now,
bit,
also,
secret of the pros.
When you're storing your produce,
yes.
When you're picking which ones you're going to store and which ones you want to treat them gently. You want to be kind to your vegetables. Any little bruise is going to become rot. Any yes. little nick in the skin is going to become rot, and it's going to spread. So only store your pristine vegetables, fruits, and vegetables.
So you just want to eat the other ones first. But I do know from firsthand experience. When I'm helping the wife out in the garden, I always toss all the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it actually ends bad, but I know it ends bad for me.
Right.
Yes. I know when I throw the vegetables into the bin, I get, oh my God, what are you doing? Stop.
Yeah, you're some sort of lunatic. Who does
what
that?
What are you doing?
Who acts that way,
and I'm
Chuck?
Like, oh shit, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle in the bin.
Right.
You got to take care of it because the bruising, it really does take a toll and, you know,
right.
add up.
And you want your produce, you want it ripe. You don't want it before. You don't want it, you know, not quite ripe. You don't want it just after being ripe. You want to pick it just when it's just right. So.
Yeah, but if I pick it the day before, the chipmunks don't fucking eat it on me.
Ah, those bastards.
If I wait till the day it's just uh-huh. ripe, damn it, they're gone.
I'll tell you what, man. I've been growing strawberries.
Out and all the tomatoes have big bites out of them,
and they don't even eat the whole thing.
You see the pile,
they go from potato from tomato to tomato.
You see the pile of tomato skins laying mm-hmm. there, and you're like, really, really, dude.
Dick. You know, yeah, I was growing strawberries for probably 3 years, no problems. And then one day, I saw one squirrel out there. Eating the strawberries, and he just went around and told all his friends. And after that, I've never been able to grow strawberries and get
and ever
any out
since
of them.
Kevin has been getting fat eating squirrels. But
right, now you want to store most vegetables immediately after harvesting.
Okay,
most vegetables. That's not all of them. We'll get back to that one.
We're gonna circle around. Yeah.
You're gonna want to trim off the excess stem. But you're going to want to leave about an inch of stem left on your vegetables. The
okay.
reason is any sort of little nick in the skin of the vegetable or the fruit is that's going to be the weak point, and that's where it's going to start rotting quick. So you want to be very careful with it. Now let's talk real quick about curing vegetables for your root cellar.
Tell me about that.
Most vegetables can just go right in. But you can help to prolong the life of your vegetables if you get them ready for storage before you put them in your root cellar. Curing vegetables helps toughen up the skin and helps make it last longer. And there's different ways for different vegetables and fruits. All right, so sweet potatoes, you should keep it in a warm, humid place for 7 to 10 days. And like I said, that's going to toughen up the skin. Onions and garlic should sit in the sun for about a week.
Really?
Before you put it in your root cellar.
Now, garlic, I'm always told, has to be in the cold, dark place. But you're saying give it a week first?
Give it a week first.
All right. Right.
Pumpkins and squash should cure in the sun for 2 weeks also before you put them in your root cellar. Right.
I do have another tidbit that my notes I had highlighted. You want to store cabbage and turnips in a separate root cellar because they stink.
Okay. It's like when you go to the bagel store and you get the everything bagel and throw it in with the plain bagels.
And they're all contaminated. And they all taste like... Exactly.
They all are stinky.
Another thing, like we talked about fruit, you know, apples and pears we had mentioned, they should be wrapped in paper. Mm-hmm. And this will actually slow the release of the ethylene gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically it's kind of rotting or, right, you know, spoiling. But that can also cause other fruit and other vegetables to rot,
right,
and spoil quicker. So just something to keep in mind, little, you know.
Yeah. Now, you know how when you go to the grocery store, they have those little misters where they spray that mist on the vegetables in the produce section? Not a fantastic idea. It actually makes them go bad faster. They just look fresher.
Ooh, secret of the pros.
So
right,
you want to keep them dry.
Now, there is one thing that I learned from Axl Rose.
Okay.
Back in the
just
day.
Just one thing. He taught me all kinds of stuff.
That it turns out you want to inspect your stuff daily.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of go through, move stuff around, look what's going on.
Right.
One, make sure no bad critters or anything are getting in there. But also, if anything looks like it's starting to spoil or rot, you want to get it the hell out. Because one apple can spoil the whole damn bunch.
That's right. Fucking
Axl nailed
Rose.
It. Now that's a thing, though.
And that's true,
and
though.
You see that at home, like, you know, you have the fruit sitting on the counter, and as soon as one goes bad, it's just like they all spread and it contaminates.
Right.
You gotta kind of be paying attention. Yeah.
You gotta eat
on top of stuff.
You know, if you're doing the root cellar right, you're eating almost rotting vegetables all the time because you want to be taking those ones out first. And you don't want your vegetables and your fruits touching each other. Not vegetables and fruits, but I mean every individual piece of food should have it.
That's
a little bit of space.
That's why those nice wood shelves you made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a perfect world, I know people do what they do and whatever. You don't want to use pressure treated.
Mm-hmm.
You want to use nice wood that you can, you know.
Right.
But, you know,
whatever. Cedar's good for that.
Now,
it's a little bit expensive.
Some of you might be saying, well, you know what? They don't use arsenic to treat pressure-treated wood anymore. That's a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And you might tell me about how it's salt water, brined, and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what? Don't use treated.
Yeah.
And you'll thank me later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless your people that you're feeding are really annoying, then maybe you'll thank me.
Yeah. You know, a little bit of cancer is not bad.
No. And
no.
I mean, you know, olden days. That's what I just read this thing about Australians are now starting to die of cancer. And they're like, oh, this is really bad. And they were like, no, it was because they were never living long enough.
To get cancer. Yeah. Now, I did get an email from an
Australian.
An Australian that said we don't spend enough time making fun of Australians.
Well, you know, I'm willing to step up our game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna, you know, next week, I'm gonna write up some jokes.
You're gonna have to write
Australians
up some jokes because I don't feel like I have any.
Well,
the problem
is it's hard to make fun of Australians because, like, to them, cunt is a compliment. You know, I don't even know where to go from there. That's as far as I can go. I don't even know where you go from that.
There's a reason all the sailors were excited to pull into Australia. Because the women were like, oh, here come the real men.
Ooh, burn.
Yeah, we'll get some hate mail.
That's now, right. I think that's good.
I was told that it's because we have manners.
Is that what it is? Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I'm not sure that's something like I would brag about. I'd rather be the guy who's like, well, we still get the ladies, but we don't have any manners.
Right.
Rather than, well, yeah.
I mean, Axl Rose taught me that.
Axl Rose. It goes back. It's come full circle.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, now the one disgusting thing I did notice about the Australian Navy is they don't wear undershirts. You know about this? They just wear the wool like right on their skin.
Right, they're all in.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, that's something to note.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I would do, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Now, are we all caught up on our root cellars?
I think we are.
All right. Now you said we got an email from Joe.
Yeah. Joe wanted to do another episode on American badasses, like historical. Badasses. Now, I put out the call because I really felt like there was a need for it about, you know, Canadian, doing a show on Canadian badasses.
You did mention it. And you know what? I think they were so embarrassed that they didn't have any real badasses.
We had zero responses.
That or we don't have any Canadian listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I could check our...
No, we've got plenty.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. They just, apparently they don't have anybody to talk about.
Or any balls.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, I might bring up the sniper with the furthest distance shot with a confirmed kill. Well,
I saw that.
That's not, apparently not. Apparently they don't like that guy. Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We could possibly do a show about Australian badasses.
Crocodile Dundee, right?
Yeah, but I think they lost a war to birds at some point.
Is that what happened?
There's like an ostrich war that
they
didn't win.
Then they gave up their guns and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're afraid of frogs over there? I heard?
I don't know anything about that.
They have some kind of, they lick frogs or I don't know what's happening.
Are those the gay frogs they're licking? I don't know what they're licking. Alex Jones had something to say about it. I don't remember exactly
all right,
how that
good
goes.
Enough. But so we might look into that. I don't know if there are any American badasses. Are there?
There's a couple left.
There are a couple
left. We haven't talked about Alvin York.
Alvin York.
Mm.
Nice.
Now, if you guys want to get a hold of us and tell us about your favorite badass from your country, because we've got America covered.
Yeah, we got America covered?
Right. If you want to tell us about your favorite badass from your country, now, I know we've got a lot of Chinese listeners.
Really?
Yeah, specifically 92 downloads in Beijing consistently for every episode we do, and I don't know that it has anything to do with anybody actually listening
but
to our podcast.
But it keeps our stats up, and I like that. I feel solid.
Right. I just feel like they're trying to figure something out, trying for us to slip up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Find out about the infrastructure.
Ooh,
I'm not sure.
The infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But we're not going to do a show
Kevin
on
Kevin might
Chinese
give
badasses.
Some water supply insights.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what could happen?
IP Man was legit, though.
IP Man?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all started. You taught Bruce Lee everything he knows.
But if you guys want to talk, if you guys want to... let us know about your favorite badass. Email us at preppingbadass.com. Preppingbadass@gmail.com. Let us know.
All right. Now, I actually want to point out, you guys know we always mention Tac Pack.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually heard from some listeners that you guys are actually purchasing it. Get that free gun cleaning mat.
Yeah,
I
now
like
what,
it.
What's the
code
for
we get some cool stuff through that. So... what you do is when you sign up for your monthly subscription, if you put in the code BADASS, you're going to get a free gun cleaning mat. And it's pretty cool looking. And it's nice to lay your shit out. You know how those springs always shoot out of your AR-15
right,
when you're pulling
them apart?
Right,
just firing off and you never find them
you
again.
You undo the stock, bam, there goes the spring. And you undo the pistol grip, there goes the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You undo the barrel, spring. You know, so these things, it matters. You want to kind of keep your shit organized. Tac Pack's there to help you out. Plus, they actually come with a lot of those supplies that you might be losing across the living room.
Right.
Could be coming in the next tack pack.
That's
I don't
right.
even know.
Now,
it's always a surprise. That's mm-hmm. why I like it. Because each month, when I open it up, I'm like, what could it be? Bam! There's some springs that I just shot across the room.
The ones you're missing.
The ones I was missing.
Yeah.
The other day, I was all like, oh, you know, I need to get a... I don't even know what it was. There was some part I was dying for. Oh, a muzzle brake.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure enough, the next tack pack, there's a muzzle brake. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nailed it! And it could be because they send all the parts to kind of get you there. And I was... That was the one they hadn't sent me yet.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know what their genius is on their end. I just know that when I need something, it usually mm-hmm. shows up in the mailbox.
Yeah. Now, I know with Tac Pack, I've always had a preference for certain types of knives.
They got you covered?
They always send me new things.
To stretch your boundaries?
And I didn't realize that I loved a knife with a sheep foot blade.
Ooh.
A sheep foot blade is designed for cutting and not stabbing. So you don't accidentally stab yourself when you're trying to do something stupid.
Now you're looking to not stab yourself, and I'm looking to stab everything.
Well, it's not ideal for stabbing other people.
Okay.
So, I mean, there is that. There is that. Not great for knife fighting.
Knife fighting.
But all the other use is pretty good.
And you probably have another knife for your knife fighting.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Got the Bowie knife.
I got a nice deer hunting knife. Came in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Had, you know, the zipper I was talking about last time,
right.
And a nice scraper on the back, some kind of bone handle or something,
mm-hmm.
and like handmade in Bangladesh or something.
Oh, nice, nice. So, you know.
Finest knife that
they paid 3 cents an hour.
$13 could buy. Handmade.
Uh-huh. Handmade.
Handmade.
That's right. Beautiful.
So, I'm just saying.
Now, when you order your tack pack.
Yeah.
And you enter the code BADASS.
BADASS. Yep.
You're going to get the gun mat, but the gun mat is going to come separately.
No.
So when you get your tack pack, you're not going to get the gun mat with it. It's going to come in the mail at a different date. Maybe before, maybe after.
All right. That, and I know you guys love listening to this podcast. Maybe you want to support us on Patreon, get
mm-hmm.
some new patches.
Yep.
Not that they're different than the patches you would have already gotten if you subscribed on Patreon. But
right.
I'm just saying it might be new to you.
New to you if you haven't subscribed.
Speaking of awesome patches, mm-hmm. and now that we're just talking about nonsense.
Yeah.
I got a Gazelle, I don't know how you say it, but trigger.
Okay.
And it said, oh, when you buy this, you get a swag pack. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You're going to send me a sticker or what?
Mm-hmm.
I get it the other day, my new trigger, fancy, right? I'm pretty
mm-hmm.
excited.
Legit.
Haven't put it in yet, but it's I'm excited.
All right.
Sent me a hat. I'm like, hat? Nice. And it's like nice, embroidered, the whole thing, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not just like a trucker foam, you know, nonsense. It's nice. Sent me about 8 stickers, about 6 different patches. Sent me some kind of like put at the end of your zipper pull.
Ooh.
And all kinds of shit. I was like, what? You
that
guys are killing
fancy.
It. Dude, it was like $40 in freaking swag.
Swag.
But you know what it is? I think it's because they knew I was a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I'm going to take care of that guy.
Right, right.
Dude, I went night before I came tonight. I went and got a deli sandwich for the old lady.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have dinner while I'm off here, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I have him make it. Guy hands it to me. He's like, brother, this one's a beast. I really put it together for you. It's going to work out great. And I'm thinking it's the beard.
It's got to be the beard.
Like, you know what? I got to take mm-hmm. care of this guy.
You know, somebody actually stopped me yesterday.
I was like,
just to tell me that my beard was fantastic.
Dude, you look like G.I. fucking Joe.
Uh-huh. Now, he had a legit mustache, like a Magnum P.I. mustache.
Nice.
So, I mean, you know, skill recognizes skill.
That I hear you. Now, I feel like some people tell me, oh, once you start talking about the ads and stuff at the end, they cut it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you would turn it away from this gold. This is sheer gold.
Yeah,
right
you
here.
Should have turned this off about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, more like
Wait,
6.
How but far are we into the show?
We're far enough.
Yeah, you should have turned it off about 40 minutes ago.
Just the intro. Once you get past the intro music, you've gone
the rest
too
is
far.
Trash.
All right. So with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Four in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Birds up in the sky.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Ooh. A mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.